Number two, and this one will take just a little bit longer, not an awful longer. Contemporary evangelism requires a church geared for mission. So at the individual level, we have, as a church and you as individuals, a clear grasp of the issues. Number two, contemporary evangelism requires a church which is geared for mission. You are on a mission footing. Now, I had not heard of this congregation until 3 months ago when I got the invitation to come. And I know very little about you. I don't know much about your culture. I don't know much about where you are. So I'm not coming with any degree of prejudice. But I'm just saying that every church I talk to in my job as mission director, I'm going to try and get every single church. It's a passion geared for mission. So may I suggest, if it's not already, that this is your task for the foreseeable future. Maybe it has been. I'm sure it has, and you just need to be reminded of it. So what are the marks of a church geared for mission? Well, there's one or two marks. I think I've got four. Number one, again, it's so basic, that you're a people of prayer. Prayer. You pray as individuals. You pray as a church prayer meeting. You have a culture of prayer. Prayer triplets. That's one way to do it. A WhatsApp group with one of your friends with prayer requests. The office bearers meet on a regular basis for prayer. So that's one of the things that the eldership do, that they pray for the people. You as church members, you pray. And you see, prayer is infectious. Praying people come from praying churches. Luke is interesting. Luke, who wrote the Gospel. We know that Luke is from someone who's obsessed with prayer. Luke 3:21. He notes that Jesus prayed at the start of his ministry. Luke 5:15, he noticed that Jesus prayed before all his healings. Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed before the healing of the 12. It was his example that taught the disciples to say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so, a lot of healthy church is very, very simple. It's a bit like weight loss. Now, me talking about weight loss is a bit like Stalin talking about, you know, public relations. But how do you lose weight? You eat less and you exercise more. Okay, that's just free advice thrown in there. The Meredith diet. Don't hit the shrimp and grits. Ease off the mac and cheese. Eat less, exercise more. How does a church become more missional? It prays. Acts of the Apostles, Acts 1:4. Before the Spirit came, the church were together in prayer. Acts 2:42, the church met together to pray. Acts chapter 4, what happened when the church prayed? The earth shook, doors flew open, men were stoned and went to their death with shining faces. That's what happened when the church prays. When collectively they come together and they have an access to this awesome power of God. And so the task before us to win the world for Jesus is so big, it's so tough, it's so difficult that we need the help of God. We need to pray. And there's got to be unity. And that's one thing that we've got in the church here at Stark Road. We've got unity. But we've also got a sense of expectancy that God will actually answer our prayers. know, the story in the Acts of the Apostles where Peter's and all his friends are in jail. The church meets together and pray. The door goes. Rhoda, the servant girl, goes to the door. She opens it. Remember, they've all been praying for Peter to be released. She opens the door. It's Peter. She goes back and says, "Guys, it's Peter." They say, "Don't be ridiculous. These things don't happen." And they keep on going praying. We have forgotten that God amazingly answers prayer. See, John Miller, American writer, wrote a really book. It's a bit old now, but it's a great book, Outgrowing the Ingrowing Church, speaks about frontline prayer as opposed to maintenance prayer. Frontline prayer really moving on. So this is wonderful, this unity of purpose and this adoration of God. Because in prayer, we're consumed with God. Prayer is not simply us speaking to God, but God speaking to us. Prayer is fundamental. Prayer opens a door to a vision of what God can do. I was in Africa recently, in Uganda, and speaking to one of the pastors there, and he was in the UK, and he heard us praying, and he says, "You know, I noticed the difference between us and you guys." He said this, I wrote it down, he says, "You people pray, we cry to God. Cry from our hearts that God would move." Because we're faced with this impossible situation. Remember what I said? Man without God is dead. He's at, or she's at the bottom of a sea, skeletal without any life. That needs more than a cup of tea to raise them. Scots folk are very shy, if you've not noticed. They're very reticent. Americans, not so shy. Now, that's a sweeping generalization. I'm sure there are some shy Americans. I'm sure there are some. But in Scotland, we tend to be really shy and very reticent. Folk in Ireland are different. You know, folk talk about Scots, Irish, as if we were the same people. It's a little bit more complex. I was in a mission in Ireland a long time ago, like over 20 years ago. And went back to this old couple's house. They were too old to attend the meetings. And we went in the door and they said, "Has anybody been saved yet?" We just wouldn't ask that question in Scotland. But I admired their expectancy. "David, you preached the gospel. Has anybody been saved yet?" Contemporary evangelism requires a church geared for mission. Number one is a church that prays. Number two, that it's a people with a mindset for mission. Are you interested in mission? Do you have a mindset for mission? Well, that's crucial. It defines a Christian. Spurgeon says, "Nobody wants to go to heaven alone." Again, you read in the Acts, they had a mindset for mission. They had all these tools for mission. Their homes were missional. Open homes, read Acts 28:17. They took the people to their house where Paul was staying from morning till evening. He declared to them the kingdom of God. Houses and homes were crucial. There were no church buildings till the 3rd century. Open homes, open lives. They hung out with non-believers. They just talked to the weirdest people. Someone said, it's a little bit corny, but I quite like it. If Christianity was an infectious disease, are you among people to such an extent that they would catch that? Now, one of the things about the South, it's a marvelous, one of the things about the South is that there is still a Christian ethos, but someone said to me that you can be, they picked the poor Baptist, but they could have picked anyone. You can be born in a Baptist hospital, go to a Baptist school, go to a Baptist university, get a job in a Baptist firm, retire in a Baptist pension plan, and get buried by a Baptist undertaker. You don't need to go outside the bubble. I guess you could do it all with Presbyterians as well. It's a bubble. And we enjoy that bubble. But folks are not hearing the gospel. We fund this huge Christian music industry. And we go to all these things. There's a book called The Velvet Elvis. It's one of the worst books I've ever read in my entire life. But there's one great line in it. And the line is that Christian is a great noun, it's a terrible adjective. So we have created this Christian subculture, you know, where folk read Christian novels, folk listen to Christian music, folk buy Christian clothes almost. That's ridiculous. That's not the New Testament. They mixed with prostitutes. They mixed with dodgy people. When did you last sit down beside your LGBT neighbor and just respected them as human beings and had a conversation? You don't need to disagree with someone. It's not the same as hating them. This whole discussion has become so kind of binary. Excuse the irony. We may not agree with someone, but everybody's human, and we've got to respect folk enough to sit down and have a conversation with them, and as I said last night, tell them your story. This mindset. A friend of mine's called David Robertson. He's an apologist, Christian apologist. He wrote a book called The Dawkins Letters. And I was involved in the launch of the Dawkins Letters, and we did not launch it at a Christian bookstore. We went to the equivalent of Barnes & Noble, and that's where we did it. We're doing so many things as churches now, not in the church buildings, but out there in communities. And those of you who come to Scotland, hopefully we're fixing up some arrangements. You'll be doing a lot more stuff in the community than you'll be doing in the church. Our schools, for example, are wide open to the gospel. In Scotland, you're allowed to go into the public schools to speak about Jesus. It's a great opportunity to just tell your story. We do music ministry in schools. We do evangelism in schools. It is a great opportunity. Mixing there. One of the major problems with so many evangelistic meetings is they're held in the wrong place. You're fishing where there are no fish. So many things. It's so important there, just to go out with the gospel. There was an evangelistic campaign a few years ago called Passion for Life, and it was held in London. Now, I told you last night how I hated jazz. So here's the irony. This Passion for Life conference is held in London, and they have a jazz event. And who do they ask to be the speaker? Me! And I don't even like jazz. So we had two events. One was in a church in Chiswick in London. The other one was in a concert venue in Spitalfields. So one was a kind of religious environment, the other one was in a non-religious environment. And the one in the religious environment was pretty well filled, but everybody was a Christian. Because it was in a church, it was really, really nice. The one in Spitalfields was in a concert venue, and there were the non-Christians outnumbered the believers by 5-1. It's packed full of non-Christian people. It was a bear pit. And it was a great place to talk about Jesus. Fishing where the fish are. That's what a church geared for mission is like. It is constantly looking for these opportunities. You know, Jesus was always out there in the streets. And it can be done with imagination. Remember the story? We're almost finished. Alfred Stuss, is that his name? Who went around the city of Sydney writing eternity on the walls. It's kind of like graffiti. He couldn't read or write, but he could write one word, eternity, in lovely copper plate writing. So what are we saying here? Contemporary evangelism requires a church geared for mission, a people of prayer, a people with a mindset for mission. And part of that is that we are gossiping people. I've got in my note here, you know, Bill Hybels. It's kind of an unfortunate reference, but that's by the way. He's got an interesting book called Just Walk Across the Room. So whatever else Hybels did or didn't do, it's not relevant just now. But that book is called Just Walk Across the Room. In other words, just tell people about Jesus. Gossip the gospel. Be as excited telling the wonders of grace on Monday as you are about the great, magnificent Mississippi State victory over Florida on Saturday. Be as at ease in gossiping the gospel. Now, the third thing is a church with an opportunity for mission. What you have here is an army headquarters, right? The leadership of this church are a group of army officers poring over strategic plans to motivate this congregation in mission. And so what they will have to do is they will have to provide a platform for mission opportunities. And that platform is at various levels. Number one, there's a platform of encouragement. They will be saying, I hope, listen, we want you folk to be involved in mission. It's okay to go outside. It's okay to talk about Jesus. They will be talking about all these things. And they will be providing opportunities, I hope, for mission. I could be here for a whole week with the leadership, with everybody, talking about these things. Well, an interesting thing that we did when I was a real minister was that we bought everybody in the congregation a book. The book was there's a character in Scotland called Mez McConnell. He's got a very interesting story. We gave everybody Mez McConnell's book. Now, when Scottish folk give something away, that is a very remarkable, miraculous thing, because we're pretty tight-fisted. We don't give an awful lot away. But everyone in the church was given a book, and the deal was that they were to give the book away to a friend. Really simple. But there you have a church leadership encouraging the people to give the books away. We're going to be talking the next few days. Some of us are going down to a meeting in Florida, and we're going to be talking about a thing called the UK Partnership, how the church here can partner with the church in Scotland, not just financially, but also in terms of mission trips. And there may be an opportunity, we're working on this, to look at how you can help us in postmodern secular Scotland. So the church will have these mission trips. And listen, in Scotland we speak English, not the way y'all speak it, but you can witness there so much easier. You don't need to learn the language. We'll be providing these opportunities for you also to go and witness. But you know what the irony would be? The irony would be that you sign up for a mission trip in Haddington, Scotland, or Charleston, Dundee, or the West End of Glasgow, or Esk Valley Community Church outside Edinburgh, or Markinch Free Church in Inverness, or Helensburgh Free Church up in the River Clyde. The irony would be that if you sign up to all these things, but never open your mouth here in good old Starkville, well, that would be ridiculous. So I hope the leadership here will provide opportunities for you to gossip the gospel abroad, but gossip the gospel also in Scotland and Europe, whatever. Fourthly, finally, and very, very briefly, in 2 minutes. Remember, a contemporary evangelism requires a church geared for mission, people of prayer, people with a mindset for mission, church with opportunities for mission. Fourthly, a church with a sense of strategy. Strategy is not worldly. You have a strategy for everything. This morning I went out for breakfast. I love breakfast in the USA. And I went into the cafe and I ordered this omelette. And the lady asked me if I wanted grits. I said, well, I've heard of grits. It's kind of a southern thing. So she brought me my omelette, my toast, and a bowl of grits. And I thought, why have I got a bowl of wallpaper paste? But so I had it in the middle of a plate. And then I wondered, what do you do here? What's the strategy? So, I don't know, do you pour the grits onto your omelette? And I decided, no, I would kind of just put my omelette on a fork and kind of drag it through the grits. That was my, I don't know. But and then I looked around and I saw how other folk handled their grits. And everybody had a different strategy. So there's no one way to eat grits. You've all got a particular strategy. So strategy is a thing. I don't mean to be flippant here, but has the leadership here got a strategy? A plan to take the gospel to this city and beyond? The Lord has blessed you in the last few years. What I'm about to say next, you may think is bizarre, but the Lord has blessed you with trouble. And I mean that when churches go through a period of trouble, it throws them back to think about these things which are important. And so with the trouble behind, you now go forward with humility and confidence. The Lord has blessed you with unity. The Lord has blessed you with the gospel. A bizarre thing happened in the cafe this morning. I looked up and there was this poster. It said, guns are welcome in here. You don't get that where I come from. But it said, please keep all guns in your holster. Beloved, you have the powerful ammunition of the gospel. Take it out the holster. And don't shoot to kill. But rather, spread the gospel far and wide. Scatter the seed. Parable of a sower will apply. Some will fall on stony ground. Some will fall among thorns. Others will land in good soil. Let me pray with you. Father, again, we thank you for your word, for its power, for its efficacy. We've been talking tonight about responsibility. Proclaim the gospel. May we have that in our lives. Lord, we leave this place thanking you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings.